David in Psalms 122nd division, verse number 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And truly we are thankful unto God that we are able to come to the house of the Lord and worship him in spirit and in truth. Many places are hiding in caves or just not going worshiping God like they should. But we here in America have this opportunity to worship God freely, that we're able to come out and to give him the glory, honor, and the praise. And I'm thankful for the leadership here, for Brother Duvall giving me this opportunity. I was supposed to do it last time, but for some reason, God said, no, not right now. And I had to listen to him because the pain came in. But because another opportunity came up, he gave it to me, and I'm thankful for that. But if your Bibles turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the verses 9 through 10, we'll be there shortly. And truly, I've learned over the years to have a love for the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as Paul said in Romans 1, verse number 16. For Paul said, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If you notice the subject there on the TV screen, I say the TV screen, the screen, resolution for the new year. And I know many don't make resolution, but sometimes we do, not knowingly, but yet we make one. But this one we should make, because realizing what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 10, but to understand, am I hitting this right? Okay, I am. When we think of the word resolution, it is a firm decision to do or not to do something. The quality of being determined or resolute. Understanding that as children of God, that we need to know and to need to learn more about God, what God will have us to do. And it should be something that we do every year. Not that we're trying to find something new like those in Acts the 17th chapter, but we want to study more of the Word of God to find out what God will have in my life to do. And understanding that meaning that as we continue on, church, a new year has begun. And I'm reminded of the fact that we are 1 year closer to that, to the day that our death or the day the Lord will return. That day when we shall stand before the Lord in judgment. Paul in Second Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And my button not working. Come on. There you go. Come on, one more time. There you go. Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 9 through 11. Paul says this, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing unto him. In other words, well-pleasing unto God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. Paul here is letting us know that day is coming, that we need to be prepared for it. Whether the things we've done in this body, the body that God has given us, whether they be good or whether they be bad, that day is coming. That day when he will either say, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, Matthew 25 and 34. Or he will say it in Matthew 25 and 41, he said, depart from me, you cursed unto everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. The Son of Man with the judgment of the nation. Realized he had the sheep on one side and the goats on the left. I'm trying to be, you know, easy with that. You know, I'm not going to say this is the right side, this is the left side. Goats on the right and the left, you know, you're not neither one. But to understand what Jesus is saying, because in verse number 35 of Matthew 25, he said, for when I was hungry. He said, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger and you took me in. He said, when I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me. And those of the righteous side said, well, Lord, when do we see you like this? He said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. He said, you have done it unto me. That's why he said in 34, he said, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. Then he had to talk to the ones on the left side, the goats. He said, when I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. When I was thirsty, you said, you didn't give me nothing to drink. When I was a stranger, you took me not in. When I was naked and you clothed me not. When I was sick and you didn't visit me. When I was in prison, he said, you didn't come to see me. And the ghost on the left side said, well, when did we see you like this? Jesus said, inasmuch as that you did it not unto the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it unto me. That's why he said, Matthew 25 and 41, depart from me, ye cursed unto the everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Since we are 1 year closer to that day, when our final destiny will be forever determined, I want to use this opportunity to provoke our thinking as to how we have used this past year, and also to suggest resolution for the new year. And I know that this year is fastly moving on. We're already in the third month, and everybody's getting everything prepared, but have you prepared your mind to study the Word of God? To have a relationship with God, to have a relationship with your brothers and sisters. Let us move on a little bit further. This evening, I want to encourage us to make better use of the time. Paul said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Brother Kraft prayed in his prayer this morning, there's a lot of evil that's going on in our world today. But yet, as children of God, we know to pray to God and ask God to deliver us from evil. Always keep his head about us and to prepare for the day of judgment that awaits us. In the past year, has our relationship with God in Christ improved? Have we drawn nearer to God?
Take your time. There you go.
Have we drawn nearer to God? James says in James 4, 7 through 8, James says this, therefore submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then he says in verse number 8, draw nearer to God, and he will draw nearer to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Bearing in mind that a close relationship with God depends upon good communication. Have we been faithful in listening to God through his word? Have we been steadfast in talking to God through prayer? Has our degree of prayerfulness increased or decreased this year? And truly, as children of God, we have much to pray about. Paul said, pray without ceasing. And like I said, many things that are going on and many things that are going on in our personal life. There are things we are confronted with. There are things that as children of God, we have to deal with. How often do we go to God in prayer? How often do we talk to God and allow God to talk to us? Look what Jesus said in John, the 12th chapter, in the verses 44 through 48. The Bible says this, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me, believe not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me, sees him who hath sent me. Verse 46, he said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believe in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my word and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I do not come to, as Jesus said, judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48 is what I want. He said, he who rejecteth me and does not receive my word has that which judge him. And he said, and the word that I have spoken unto you will judge you in the last day. Realizing that at the judgment, at the last day, God's word will be present. And our name must be written in the book of life. Well, you might ask the question, well, how do I get my name written in the book of life? By obeying the gospel, by believing in Jesus Christ, by believing that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins. Understanding that we as children of God must always have a good relationship with God. And one of the ways to have a good relationship with God is by studying his word, by doing his will, by listening to all of his commandments. Understanding one day in Matthew's, I didn't write down that scripture, but I'm going to say it anyway. The greatest commandment, Mark 12 and 29, that's the scripture I want. Mark 12 and 29, the scribe asked Jesus, which is the first and great commandment? Jesus told him this in verse 29, Mark 12 and 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Then he said in verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likened to this. You should love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. If we don't have a love for God, it's going to be very hard for us to go to finish out this new year. Our relationship with God and talking to God and allowing God to talk to us. That is very important. But how are we treating those that we come in contact with? Are we loving them as the Bible teaches? Paul in Galatians, the sixth chapter, in the verses 10, he said, as therefore as you have opportunity to do good unto all men, then he said, especially those of the household of faith. And as we move on, has our relationship with the brethren improved? Many times we come to church and we don't know one another. We don't come to speak to one another. We look at one another and know we're fast and going out of the door. But how is our relationship with one another? Look what the Bible says. I can get there. There you go. Has our love for one another increased this year? We know what last year was all about, but what about this year? Are we making plans to get to know one another? Are you have a plan to get to know the brethren that are here in the church or the sisters that are here in the church? We need to get to know one another so that we can be there for one another. Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10. Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself are taught by God to love one another. Understand what Paul is saying here. He said you are being taught by God to love one another. Realize that this is this agape love. This is the love that we have, that God has for us, and that we should have for one another. And he said, indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are all in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. I love what Paul said at the end of verse number 10. He said, you need to increase more and more. In other words, if I need to take Dale out to dinner one day, next week I need to think of something else to do. I would play golf with him, but he probably beat me. But the point of it is, we have a relationship with one another, being there for one another, knowing that when one of us not doing good, see, like, you know, we need to check on that person. We need to send them a card or go by and visit them or take them some food. Those things are important as children of God. Always do good works whenever you have the opportunity. Has our relationship with those in the world improved? We come in contact with many of people. But has that relationship, you know, we can go with them out to dinner. We can go with them to the movie. We can go with them just about any place. But how about bringing them to church? Let them see how to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. Those things are important. And if you realize as a child of God that you need this, don't you think the whole world needs this? That they need to have a relationship with God as well?
Come on, come on.
As people of God, we have important responsibility toward those in the world. First of all, when you look at Matthew 5 and verse 13 through 16, we'll get there in a minute, but we need to be a positive influence in the world. Jesus said in verse 13, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." If we are the salt of the earth, we know that we put a little salt on the food that we eat. It tastes better. We should also demonstrate a better way. When you look at verse number 16, he said, "You are the light of the world." And I pray to God that our light hasn't gone out, because we need to have that, continue to have that light to shine. Look at Matthew 5:13-16, and look what Jesus says here. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled under by men." Then he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on the lampstand, and give it light to all who are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Then he said, "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." When we look at verse 13 and verse 16, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." That is your influence. How you interact with people on a daily basis. Do you meet, sometimes you meet a stranger and say, "Good morning," or "How are you doing?" Or do we just run away and shirk away? See, sometime in a grocery store, they be hiding from you because they know you in there. "Well, you know, Brother Bass in here, you know, he might ask me or something, so I'm going to go down to another aisle." Or do we make an effort to see one another, to talk to one another, to share, you know, ideas or share thoughts with one another? Those things are important. Then he said, "You are the light of the world." In other words, we need to demonstrate to the world that there is a better way. Many times they're living a life that's not pleasing unto God. And there's a life that as children of God, we should want to be involved with. But teach them how God would treat them. Teach them that God so loved them that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Continue to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The question I'm raising can be summarized in this way. Another year has gone by. Have we made good use of the time the Lord has given us, or have we wasted it? I'm reminded of Paul in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, in the verses 13 through 14. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do." He said, "Forgetting those things which are behind," and he said, "reaching forth to those things which are before." Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Understanding who Paul was, he was one of the Hebrews of Hebrews. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was one who was a learned man in the old law. Paul knew the law. Paul had prestige. Paul had power. But Paul said, "Those things don't mean anything to me now." He said, "What I need right now is God in my life." That's why he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Paul said, "I'm reaching forth to those things that are of God." And as we continue on, y'all playing with me back there? For the year ahead, we should need to resolve to draw nearer to God in Christ by having a daily study of God's word and living abiding word. Look what Paul said in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Paul says this, For the word of God, he said, it is living. He says, it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing evil to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. We need to understand how powerful the word of God is. We need to read and study the Old and New Testament. Paul says this in Romans 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scripture we might have hope. You know, when we study the Old Testament, realizing that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So when you study the New Testament, you know, in other words, when you study about Adam and Eve, when you study about Noah, when you study about Moses, that's just one part of the story. Remember Paul Harvey said the rest of the story? Come to the New Testament and study about Jesus Christ coming into the world to die for our sins, that God has a better way for us, not that old way when we used to be under the old law, but he has a new way for us to come to him, to serve him, and to do his will. That's why when you study the book of Hebrews, in other words, it talks about a better way, a good way, the way that we should be following and serving God. But also, look what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 17. I love this scripture right here because it talks about, you know, all scriptures. Paul said in verse 16, he says, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. In other words, that God breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, he says, in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished and equipped for every good work. For every good work that you do, the Bible teaches us what to do. Then he said, those things are profitable for doctrine. Those things are reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. As children of God, we understand that the word of God is all these things. And don't you know, love the way when God talks to you and you get this feeling inside that you want to continue on? I can't think of the prophet now, but he said, you know, it's sort of shut up in my bones. You know, it's like a fire in me that I have to preach it. I've learned in my life, when I see unrighteousness, when I see wrongdoing, I just can't sit back and say, well, that's them. You know, I'm not going to say anything, but I see everything that's going on. No, I speak up. I don't just speak up in a way that's going to tear down the person. I speak up in a way that's going to encourage the person, going to admonish the person. The way that you're going is the wrong way. Here's the right way to go as children of God. Also, resolve to draw closer to God and Christ. Look what James says in James 1 and 21. James says this, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Then he says, and receive with meekness the implanted word. He said, which is to able to save your soul. We know that as children of God, the word of God is able to save our soul. So we need to grab hold to it. We need to preach it. We need to teach it. We need to live it. We need to walk as children of God. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine. That's why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You allow the word of God to be in you, so when you interact with others, they know that you are a child of God. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 2. In verse 2, Peter says this, as a newborn babe, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Whenever the word of God is being preached, and you need to make it a personal thing, that when it's being preached, you're knowing that God is talking to you. I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm not preaching philosophy. I'm not preaching, you know, man's doctrine. The Bible said, preach the word of God. Paul said, preach the word of God. I'm not ashamed of it. I need to preach it. Because it's still able, as James talks about in the latter part of verse 21, is able to save your soul. And as we continue on, resolve to draw nearer to God. Peter's last written admonition to the church in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, Peter says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now, forever. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study or be diligent to show thyself approved unto God. He said, a workman that need not to be ashamed, but rightly divided in the word of truth. Resolve to draw nearer to God in Christ by being diligent in prayer. Hebrews 4, 14 and 6, the Hebrew writer says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points, the Hebrew writer says, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Let us be a thankful people. Colossians 4 and 2, the Bible said, continue earnestly in prayer by being vigilant in it, he said, with thanksgiving. Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 8, Paul said this, pray without ceasing. In other words, never stop praying. You get up in the morning, talk to God. Mid-morning, you talk to God. Mid-noon, talk to God. Mid-afternoon, talk to God. Evening time, talk to God. Definitely when you go to sleep, talk to God, because you realize many things that goes on, that the evil don't sleep. But yet, when you have that relationship with God, you don't have to worry about it. You know, at the same time, we worry about things to the extent we can't get into sleep at night. I turn over and I just go on to sleep because I know I can't control it. You tell my family a tornado coming, I say, that's good, I go on to bed. Look at verse 18. He said, in everything, not just some things, but he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Uh-oh, there it is. My conclusion. Have our relationship with God and Christ improved? Has our reading and studying of the word improved? Has our relationship with the brethren improved? Has our relationship with those in the world improved? Let us resolve tonight. Resolve to draw nearer to God and Christ. Resolve to read and study the word of God. Resolve to become closer to the brethren. Resolve to have a good relationship with those in the world. If you're here tonight, and maybe you're not a child of God, and maybe you are a child of God, and for some reason your year has just been going by all so lightly, didn't plan nothing. Last year was the same as, you know, last year, this year gonna be the same. We don't do it on our job. Think about it, we got jobs and we're looking for the manager position. But we started, you know, I started as a dock worker. Then I was a truck driver. Then they put me in management. And I ran out of management because they weren't treating the people right. I'd rather go back on the streets, you know, and work with the people. Well, understanding, I moved up in the trucking business. What about our relationship with God? Do we know God more than we did last year or the year before? have our relationship with God to the point that we understand God, we know God, and we know how to talk to God and how to have a relationship with Him. What about the relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Get to know one another. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith, Paul said in Galatians 6 and 10. And if you hear, and maybe you're not a child of God, you need to understand this, that in order to have a relationship with God, you must come to God. I love the invitation that Jesus gave in Matthew's 11th chapter, beginning with verse number 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden." He said, "And I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Then he said, "You shall find rest unto your soul." He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You need to come to Jesus tonight, because no one has promised you tomorrow. James says, "What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little while, then it vanishes away." So we don't have long on this earth, but the time that we do have, we need to give it to God and allow God to direct our steps, allow God to direct our mouth, allow God to direct our whole life, in order that we may please it unto Him, in order that one day we may see His face in peace. If you hear, you need to hear the gospel. You need to believe the gospel, repent of your sin, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you go down with Him in the water, grave of baptism, or rise to walk in the newness of life. And maybe you're here and you are a child of God. We need to be faithful according to Revelation 2:10. He said, "Be thy faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away." If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, I beg you to come while we stand and sing a verse of a song.